everybody. I'm Dr. Deb, and welcome to another episode of PTSD and Beyond. Welcome to the PTSD and Beyond podcast, where we give you insights into post-traumatic stress, trauma recovery, healing, and beyond. I'm Dr. Deb Lind, and in each episode, I have a conversation with a guest who will stimulate your mind, touch your heart, and connect with your spirit, and also give you a greater understanding of yourself and others on this healing and recovery journey walked by so many of us before, wounded healers with lived experience and heroes. Hopefully, we'll also provide a glimpse into possibilities and purpose, hope, and inspiration. Thanks for listening and enjoy the podcast. One last thing, guys, before we dive into today's episode, if you'd like an ad-free experience and like early access to new episodes and special events, I want to let you know you can join us at patreon.com. That is patreon.com/PTSD and beyond. All right, let's do it. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Deb here with PTSD and Beyond. Let's talk about attachment. I know that we did a previous podcast about attachment theory. We're attached to things. We're attached to people. We're attached to dreams. We're attached to memories. We're attached to ideas. We're attached to disappointments. I think that the social perception of attachment is more toward the negative, meaning it's more toward the unhealthy. There's also some rules of thought. We've had folks in our community, our PTSD and Beyond community, that have shared the attachment to nothing. So the absence of attachment and how the freeing and the letting go of not being attached to anything has helped with their healing. So we've got two different spectrums here. We've got, you know, one area of being attached to people, places, things, memories, as I mentioned before, and also the attachment to disappointments and the social definition and the social perception and meaning of attachment with more toward the negative. So I'm attached to something or a person or an idea or a memory, and it's preventing me from fill in the blank. It's preventing me from, say, self-care. It's preventing me from breaking a trauma pattern. It's preventing the fill in the blank. So that would be the attachment that is harmful. And then we have also healthy attachment. What does healthy attachment look like? So we've got this big spectrum. Now, why is it important to talk about attachment separate from the theory? See, what I have found as a scholar practitioner, okay, and what that means is somebody who conducts research as well as who practices in the field, is that we can have all these theories and ideas and concepts. And once we start using that stuff, what we thought would be true or what we thought would happen doesn't necessarily happen when we use it. Let me give you another example. How many times have you gone, and yes, it's a cooking analogy. Thank you for the people who've been here before that know that Dr. Deb is going to come up with something that's related to food. How many times have we made something or we've gone to make something? Let's just take grilled cheese sandwiches, for example. Who doesn't like grilled cheese? And, you know, you really want that crusty, crispy bread, right? We really want that crusty, crispy bread. And the expectation is we put the butter on, or maybe we mix butter and mayonnaise, pan's Teflon, or it's got some sort of, you know, nonstick coating, or, hey, maybe we're even using a cast iron. God, wouldn't that be great? Grilled cheese on a cast iron, that sounds delicious. That we're going to have this crusty, crispy bread. Maybe we follow the recipe or a recipe that somebody else gave us or instructions that, say, a friend who has made it for us time and time again, and it's just so good, and we go to try it, and it just flaps. It doesn't work. You don't know what's going to happen until we actually apply and use something. While there are some rules of and schools of thought about attachment, what prevents us from moving forward in some situations in our healing is the attachment to the past. Attachment was first experienced when we were a child, when we were an infant. And how it develops is like the baby cries and the caregiver comes over and consoles the child, right? The infant. We're a toddler and we're going on the playground and we're looking back at our caregiver to make sure that this is a safe thing for us to do. We're getting that smile and the encouragement to go ahead and go run and go play with these other little people that we don't know, but we're getting reinforcement of encouragement and safety from our caregiver. Now, when our basic needs are not met and there's neglect, then as adults, what can happen is we become hypervigilant, for example. We experience physical ailments and we seek out that attachment. We seek out the relationship to make good on all of those things that didn't happen before. I know that we're talking in a short time frame here about attachment and why it's important to recognize our own needs. See, one of the things that I hope people get out of the podcast is information that helps you become your own advocate. Your own advocate for your own healing. Because what I've also found is that when we do become our own advocate for our own healing, what happens then is we can make decisions and choices that help our confidence in decision-making and identifying and evaluating the choices that are best for us, as well as experiencing breakthroughs. Let me say that again. When we become our own advocate, we become empowered with information and knowledge and wisdom that helps us develop and cultivate and solidify our own self-confidence, as well as continuing to experience breakthroughs on our healing journey. Now, we need to be honest and real with ourselves when we're looking at attachment. What are the disappointments? Why are the disappointments? Ask yourself these hard questions. And also reflect and evaluate on, was there any neglect in previous relationships, maybe even back to childhood? And how did that affect your development and growth to what you are today and what your needs are today? Why this really strikes home with me is because I can identify areas in my early childhood where there was neglect. And I can see how in previous relationships, there was the attachment of seeking out to make good on what wasn't in the past. And at the same time, once I've had that awareness and realization, now I can figure out ways to move forward and be my own advocate for my own healing, specifically within this area of attachment. Attachment is the close emotional bond with people, like our caregiver, with loved ones, and as well as partners. Right? The people who we're going to spend the rest of our life with. And what can we do when we realize that, you know what, this isn't quite healthy and I need to do something different. I need to make some changes here. Well, the first thing that we can do is we can identify specifically within the attachment, four areas of attachment. What's my predominant? What's my second? What's my third and my fourth? So the first one is about security. Do I constantly seek the need to be safe and secure? Do I have anxiety when being avoidant? So I have anxiety. Does that cause me to move away and go away? I'm avoiding things. Am I anxious, resistant, meaning that I am distressed when the person who I'm seeking the safety and security from leaves, the abandonment, right? And then the disorganized, do I display destructive behaviors in order to get the attention? Now, what's interesting is I want to preface this real quickly that I find in our community the extremes, right? Where people will take information and they take it to the extreme. Things are not absolute. Being part of your own self-advocate is to be able to discern information and figure out which pieces are appropriate and to the level, to the extent which those pieces are appropriate. So a question you can ask yourself is, have you ever behaved in a way that has been destructive in order to get attention? We see kids do this all the time. It doesn't mean necessarily that there is an attachment deficiency, right? It means that kids do things to get attention. It doesn't always mean the extreme, right? So I want to caution people when you're getting information, you have to make it and shape it in a way that makes sense for you. And when we do peer support, it's important to share this information so people can make sense of things that they've experienced and at the same time caution and say, listen, it's not an extreme. It's not black or white. We need to take this moment and evaluate in this moment with the information that we have and see how it makes sense. And maybe it doesn't make sense. Maybe it's, you know what? Yes, I've recognized that there was neglect. I recognize that I've behaved in the past with attachment needs. And what are my needs? Okay, now I understand myself better. And because I understand myself better, I can help myself better. I can do a better job at helping myself with my healing. I can help myself better with my healing. What does that mean? That means then moving forward in new relationships, I can say to myself, I am safe, I am secure, my hands are dry. Like right now, I feel safe and secure and my hands are dry, and yet I'm talking to people in over 90 countries about my own healing journey, as well as being able to share this information because it might resonate with somebody else. And somebody else might say, you know what? That sounds exactly like my story. Or somebody else might even say, you know what? I have felt that same way. And I never thought about taking in control of my own healing journey and knowing myself on a deeper level and knowing myself more. Because see, when we know ourselves and we're willing to sit with ourselves, and I know you guys have heard this information, and maybe it's the way that I'm saying it that, oh my gosh, oh, the light bulb clicks on, right? The more that we know ourselves, the better we can help ourselves. The better we can help ourselves the next time, say, somebody comes into our life and wants to be a partner. The next time somebody comes into our life and they want to do business with us. Or maybe the next time someone comes in our life and they're saying, hey, we want to hire you for something. Or maybe it's, hey, I just want to be a friend. You know what your needs are. You know what your needs are and how healthy relationships with attachment exist. Healthy relationships, attachment, you feel safe and secure. Healthy relationships with attachment, when somebody goes away, you know they're coming back. They're there and they prove that I'm here and I'm staying here. Healthy relationships are when people, you know, say maybe they go to work, they go to the store, you know they're coming home. And the parent or the person returns and there is a overt feelings of harmony and balance. Of course I'm coming back. Of course I'm here. Of course I did what I said I was going to do. And that thing that I said that I was going to do is not harmful. You also find yourself not needing to do things to get attention. Something came up in another group that I noticed that I belong to. I occasionally pop in. I'm asked to, you know, participate. And it was the comment was about sabotaging relationships. Have you ever sabotaged your relationship before? And then you kick yourself in the head and say, oh my God, I can't believe that was such a great relationship and I sabotaged it. Sabotaging relationships is another form of where the unhealthy attachment was learned at some point in the life, because that's the same as I'm acting up and I'm really needing the attention, right? The reassurance. So healthy attachment is the continuous reassurance that the relationship is healthy. It matches the words and the actions. I saw something else that was really super cool. This was on Twitter. I thought this was awesome. Somebody just recently posted that they have a check-in with their partner after every disagreement, after every argument. And what they say, their code word that they say to each other is, we're all good, right? And if it's not all good, then they sit with each other to work on it until it is good. They don't go to bed angry. They don't go to bed mad at each other. They work it out until they get to the point where they say, we're all good, right? It's a check-in. It's a check-in because everybody has needs. Everybody has attachment needs. Everybody has the desire to feel safe and secure. And again, we know the feeling of belonging, to be validated, to know that the person that we're with and ourselves with that person, you know, we have the self-attachment, right? We've got attachment with ourself where we show love to ourselves. And that's one of the strongest attachments. And then also, you know, how do we extend that to others around us? Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Deb. Thank you so much for being here today and listening to the PTSD and Beyond podcast. To learn more about our workshops, keynotes, as well as individual coaching, give us a shout out at drdeb@ptsdandbeyond.org. Again, thinking about attachment early on, infants depend on attachment of their caregiver for safety and survival. And if we don't experience that early on and do something about it at some point in our life, then we, you know, a person will have the fear of being alone, the fear of lack of community, the fear of being understood. And all those fears become bigger and bigger and bigger. At the same time, remember, there are ways of practicing to say, I'm not going to be attached to anything. No attachment to people, no attachment to things, attachment to objects. I mean, I can tell you that I have things in my house that I'm attached to. You know, I have a Red Sox baseball hat that is fitted for me, and I'm attached to it. If I lost it for some reason, it went away, I would be disappointed. I would be disappointed. Is there something that you're attached to that would be devastating if you lost? Some people might think right now their wedding ring, their wedding band, be devastated. What is that attachment rooted in? Why does it cause those feelings to come up? How do we create healthy attachments to things? How do we create healthy attachments in the workplace, right? Right now, there are some folks that are afraid of, you know, being laid off. And there are employers that are freaking out because what if they lose their workforce? What can we do to strengthen the relationships so we're not in this continuous state of anxiety and fear and unhealthy attachment? Why does unhealthy attachment exist in the workplace? Well, if what we don't work on in our personal lives, guess what? I wish there was a bell, like a ding, 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 ding. Oh my gosh, we bring it to the workplace. So how can we, as leaders in the workplace, create healthy workplace cultures that reinforce, in addition to psychological safety in addition to psychological safety, emotional safety. How do we do that? You know what? If you're a leader out there within an organization and you're listening to this podcast, I'd love to have you come on and let's have this conversation. Can we break free and reduce unhealthy attachment needs? Yes. What are some of the ways? We talked about it here today. Know yourself better. Ask yourself some of these, and they are difficult questions. It's easy to ask the question. It's difficult to answer. Let me repeat that. It is easy to ask the question. It is difficult to answer. Be real to yourself. The more that you know yourself, the more that you can help yourself on this healing journey. Now, a couple rules of thought here too. If you want to learn more about attachment theory, there's a psychologist and there's a psychiatrist. So we've got Mary Ainsworth, who's a psychologist, and then Dr. John Bowlby, B-O-W-L-B-Y. They first created attachment theory back in the 1950s. So this stuff has existed for a very long time. A very long time, which makes me ask myself the question. And I ask these questions to myself quite often. How have we gotten any better? What I've learned too is that no one's going to do the work for you. You got to do the work yourself. What we can do is we can support one another. We can share ideas. We can have conversations like this, even though it's one way, but somebody's listening out there. And thank you so much for still being here. We can have these kinds of conversations and put this information out there because, again, like I said earlier, I do hope that this information resonates with somebody and that light bulb clicks on or something continuous thinking goes on and it's like, yes, I see it and I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to take some sort of action about it. And whether that means you get more information and read about it, or you come up with some of those responses to those questions and, you know, have a plan on how to recognize, look at your patterns, look at patterns from the past, patterns from today. And then the next question is, which ones are serving me well and which ones aren't? Let me say that again. Which attachments are serving me well? And which ones, meaning the attachments, are not serving me well? Again, there's reasons why we become attached to things. The need to belong, inclusion, we're social beings, isolation leads to depression, and some other things too, because maybe we've experienced such great loss that we're attached to those memories. I can tell you, I have a candle that was my dad's. It's not the prettiest candle, okay? But I have it in my office because it's a symbol of my dad. Now, my dad's been passed over 20 years now. And we become attached to things that have memory of love. We become attached to those kinds of things. And yes, if God forbid I lost that candle, I would be upset, and I would be hurt, but I wouldn't be devastated. And you need to ask yourself, if you lost something or something that you're attached to, would you be devastated? And how long would that devastation last? And are you willing to find ways to be healthy with it? I can tell you with that candle in particular, you guys, had I lost that candle years ago, especially right after my dad passed away, within the first 5 years, I can tell you without a doubt, I would have been devastated to lose that candle. Because that candle has meaning to me, and it has layers of meaning that only I know. And somebody else might look at it and say, it's just a candle. But to me, it has a deeper meaning to it. And I think why I'm sharing that with you, why I'm sharing this example, is to show that when we do become more aware of our attachment needs, our attachment styles, and the things that are important to us, and answer the question why, and really answer those questions truthfully to yourself to understand yourself more, there's a, I don't want to say a release, but that deeper level of awareness has really helped me to be able to say, I'm comfortable with. And I realize that. So I'm comfortable with, fill in the blank, and I realize that, and fill in the blank. To me, those things are important to understand. And that's one way of doing it. Another thing is, it's really super cool. So today we're starting off spring. This is the year 2022. We're starting spring. I say that because our podcasts are all, they stay up all the time. So we don't take them down. Part of spring, and we also have a new moon today too, which is super cool, April Fool's Day, is the clearing of things. So you go through your house and you ask yourself the question, you know, like, oh, do I need this anymore? Am I using this anymore? And then we donate it, right? Our stuff that no longer serves us, we donate to somebody else because somebody else is looking for this. Like, oh gosh, I really wish I had one of these, right? Which is beautiful for many reasons. And why I share this example is because we do the same process, and we can do the same process when it comes to learning about ourselves and our attachments to people, our attachments to memories, our attachments to things, our attachments to dreams, our attachments to fill in the blank. And again, we can ask ourselves the question, does this serve me well? And if not, then we can go ahead and process our attachment, and then also at the same time release an unhealthy attachment, which then opens up the door to be having healthy attachments with other relationships, with other people, with community, and of course with ourselves. Guys, this is Dr. Deb with PTSD and Beyond. If you want to learn more about attachment, you'd like to have someone come into your workplace, talk about attachment, and also maybe you want some attachment coaching, drop me a line at Dr. Deb at PTSD and Beyond. And of course, please remember to go ahead and buy us a cup of coffee, because you know we'd like to stay highly caffeinated during these sessions together, as well as supports the operational costs for PTSD and Beyond, so we can go ahead and continue to bring these programs to you. And we will see each other again next time.